Watershed Voice, community-supported journalism.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. It's me, your host, Lane, back for another week to discuss everything Michigan sports related. I'm going to dive into some Tigers today, going to recap the two local baseball and softball squads results from a couple of weeks ago. Looking forward to some more action starting tonight for basically all the local high schools. And we'll dive into a topic I've really been looking forward to covering, and I finally have the opportunity to do it, so I'm going to run with it. So I'm excited about this, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But first, just wanted to say thank you guys for listening to me ramble for a little bit longer for another week. If you guys have not yet, make sure you like, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our Instagram game is getting a little bit stronger, so I appreciate the help and the new followers on that platform. Also, if you have not yet, make sure you drop us a rating on all your favorite podcast streaming sites. Subscribe to us as well. That only helps the algorithm get increased for this podcast and helps me ramble in some other people's ears a little bit longer. It's been said this podcast is great lawn mowing podcast, and I don't know about you guys, but I actually mowed my lawn for the first time last Friday, and after the rainy weekend, looks like I'm gonna have to do it again soon, so that'll be fun. With that, I'm going to just kind of recap the news real quick. So the Tigers had opening day a couple weeks ago, and the big surprise, but really not a surprise because I figured he would be a very integral part of this team going forward, has been Akil Baddoo. That man is a bad man. Day one, first career at bat, hits a home run. Second game, hits a grand slam. His third game was all right. Fourth game, hit a walk-off against his old team, the Twins, to win it. And then I believe he hit a home run last night as well. Absolutely crushed it, 450 feet. I think he's tied with three other Tigers or something like that to hit three home runs in his first seven games. So he is starting off extremely strong. I would maybe say he might be the most exciting rookie we've seen in a while. No offense to Casey Mize, Tariq Skubal. I'm sure when Torque comes up, that's going to be a big one too. But yeah, Baddoo, he looks to be the truth. He's about the only real shining spot outside of Mize last night for this Tigers team. Miggy is already on the DL. Julio Teheran is now on the 60-day DL, so it's already starting pretty quick. But it does seem like AJ Hinch is already ready to start making changes and pushing his guys, which is great because we need to turn it around to Detroit. We need to turn it around pretty fast. So, like I said before, I think AJ Hinch is that guy. So we'll see what happens. Other than that, guys, I don't have a whole lot of news for the week or the past 2 weeks. So I'm going to take a quick commercial break and I will be back with some high school baseball and softball scores. And we are back from our first paid commercial break. See, podcast moving up here, guys. All right, so guys, I'm going to go ahead and break down the only scores I have for our area, which is St. Joe County. The one school that actually has played some games has been Three Rivers, so I'm going to break down baseball and softball scores for them. Like I said earlier, softball and baseball are really going to start picking up tonight. A lot of doubleheaders tonight, and we're going to be rolling through. So be on the lookout for an upcoming episode, some recaps. So with that, I'm going to lead off with the local Wildcats baseball team. On the 29th, they opened the 2021 season with a 10-6 non-conference win over Mattawan, which is a big win. Gavin Buter threw five innings with nine strikeouts while allowing three walks and earning his first win of the season. Drew Keene finished on the mound for two innings, striking out two. Buehler and Aiden Gidley had hits and RBIs. Drew McClain and Lloyd Rusink, if I'm mispronouncing the name, I'm sorry, each scored two runs. McClain and Brady Bissett each drew three walks. So then the next night, the Wildcats traveled to Coldwater, fell 11-0. So the Wildcats currently sitting 1-1. Mark Wittenberg, Zach Royce, and Drew McClain all pitched for the Cats. Brady Bissett, Gavin Buehler, and Aiden Gidley had hits offensively. So, yeah, it looks like kind of a slow start for the Wildcats. Good for them. They had some time to kind of get things figured out. Also not as best of time because a little time off doesn't necessarily help a baseball team. So we'll see where the Wildcats can rebound. I believe starting tonight, it might be in Sturgis, I believe. Don't quote me. So then I'm going to move over to the Lady Cats. On the 30th, they had a doubleheader at Coldwater. Game one, three of her smacked Coldwater 18-1, led by Callie Hevlin. The team had a 17-hit attack, which she led them with four hits, which one was a home run, two triples, and she drove in six runs, which if you do not know, Hevlin is headed to the Alabama Crimson Tide, which is the third-ranked team nationally, to play softball next season. So good luck to her. Add to that, Chantel Bly had three hits, a double and a triple, while Macy Ivins, Natalie Barnes, Ava Foreman had a triple, and Brooklyn Furlong each had two hits. Foreman pitched four innings for the win, allowing one hit. Game two, a little bit closer score, 3-13, Coldwater 7. Hevlin had three hits, two doubles. Chantel Bliley had a double, and Ava Foreman each had two hits, lead the Cats. Bliley drove in three runs. Natalie Barnes pitched 6.2 innings to get the win. If I'm going to put money down on a team to watch this year, I think in even this entire side of the state, I'm going to say Three Rivers. Last year, they were shorted because of COVID. They had a lot of potential last year. Kylie Nash, who is now a pitcher for Tulsa, was also on that team. Just a lot of talent in the area right now for women's sports. This Three River softball team, man, sky's the limit. I'm really excited to see where we go from here. Who knows? Maybe I can get one of the coaches on or one of their players on to do an interview with them. So if you guys are listening, you're more than welcome to come on, and I would love to have you. So with that, guys, like I said, not a lot of baseball, softball action going on. That's all going to pick up tonight. And we'll start recapping that soon. So with that, guys, I am excited to break down my next segment for you. I've been wanting to do this since the podcast has started. I have the opportunity. I'm going to run with it. I am going to break down WrestleMania 37, both nights 1 and 2, and give you my thoughts on WrestleMania as a whole in each match. So stay tuned for that if you're a wrestling fan. All right, guys. I don't know about you, but I am ready to do this segment. So as you know, a little backstory, I am a huge WWE fan. I haven't been paying as much attention to it lately, but whenever WrestleMania rolls around, it's the start of a new year for the wrestling world. I know it's fake, but man, it's a man's soap opera. Like that's what I want to call it. So we'll roll with that. So guys, I'm going to break down WrestleMania 37. I'm going to lead off with night one, which was Saturday night. So it was pretty incredible scene given the situation we are in right now with COVID. Vince McMahon came out and thanked a live crowd of 25,000 people for attending. I'm still a little nervous seeing that many people together given where we're at with COVID, but it was nice seeing people back in an event. I kind of felt like maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel here. And man, did that crowd made a difference on both nights. And I'll talk about that a little later. But really, to kick it off, though, they went into a 30 to 40 minute weather delay. So that's the first time that's ever happened. It was an outdoor event at Raymond James Stadium, which is the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the home of this past year's Super Bowl. So they've had quite a few big events. Some storms blew through, and in the 30 to 40 minutes, it was really interesting because you could finally see superstars just be given a microphone and just say run with it, because nobody was prepared for this, so they had to run their own promos. Kevin Owens did fantastic. He is one of the best talkers in the WWE, and he proved it. Seth Rollins did awesome as well. He was funny. He played his persona of kind of the cocky, arrogant heel very well. And then Shane McMahon, god awful. And Braun Strowman was not good either. You could tell he was really nervous, caught off guard, which, I mean, I would be too. So I'm not going to critique him that much. And then also, Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan were the hosts for WrestleMania this year, which Hulk Hogan has kind of been blacklisted by WWE, but he's been kind of welcomed back, in which Hulk Hogan won't go into it too much. It said some racial slurs that are not appropriate. And the crowd let him know it. I mean, whenever Hogan went to talk, they booed that man out of the building. I loved it. Keep that same energy. Titus O'Neil, it was a local guy from Tampa. And they absolutely love Titus. So with that, I'm just going to go ahead and go to the first match of the night. We opened with the Raw WWE Championship match between Bobby Lashley, the current champion, and former champion Drew McIntyre. Overall, very solid match to open WrestleMania. If you really like seeing two gigantic human beings just beating the living shit out of each other, that was a match for you. It was very high-paced, heavy-hitting, was just really cool to watch. Bobby Lashley ended up retaining with the Hurt Lock on Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, quote-unquote, passed out. And actually, into this match, this was the first real swerve, I mean, to come right out of the gate. It was anticipated McIntyre would finally win, get the title in front of a live crowd to kind of get that pop. And it didn't happen. They kept it on Lashley. I think it's a good idea. I mean, if you want McIntyre to win in front of a live crowd, make sure that you're going to have your follow-up shows, your Raws, your SmackDowns, be in person as well, because you're just going to waste that pop for nothing again. Sorry about that, guys. Phone's going off. And it will just help people finally buy into Drew McIntyre in his third championship reign. So that kind of closes up the first match. So second match, not as great, was the Women's Tag Team Turmoil for a shot at the Women's Tag Team title on night two. We opened up with Lana and Naomi opening the gauntlet and facing Billie Kay and Carmella. Billie Kay and Carmella were just kind of a hodgepodge tag team thrown together at the last minute. Billie Kay's character is pretty much been kind of lost since she split from the Iconics and Peyton Royce. So she ended up working together with Carmella, which was a neat pairing, a pretty good pairing. Billie Kay plays her character very well. Carmella is kind of a, you know, supposed to be a big money, kind of seductive, sexy kind of character. And Billie Kay, it was funny, whenever they walked to the ring together, Billie Kay was trying to kind of mimic her, but you could tell she was acting, mimicking. It was entertaining. So they face against Lana and Naomi, and Billie Kay and Carmella got the first fall. Carmella basically pushed on Billie Kay's back in a legal pin to score a pinfall. So then Billie Kay faced off against Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. Side note, I actually went to college with Ruby Riott over at Southwestern Michigan College. Played flag football with her, and she was super tough then, and she is super tough now. So it makes sense to me. So Riott and Morgan hit a high-flying double-team move to pin Billie Kay to advance. So then they faced Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose, actually, the most memorable thing about their segment was walking to the ring, slipped and fell on the ramp due to the rain. So that's become a meme for everyone around. And Liv Morgan ends up rolling up Dana Brooke. And kind of a side note here, the announcers actually announced the wrong team losing. So that created a little bit of confusion. And then you had the Riot Squad against Natalya and Tamina. And Natalya and Tamina hit the heart attack to pin Ruby Riot. And they advanced to night two to face Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax for the women's tag team titles. My overall analysis for the match, at times the match was pretty sloppy. You could tell that it was kind of being rushed a little bit, I think, due to the weather and then due to the delays. And just the butterflies from being in front of people for the first time in a year, a month. But overall, I feel like the Riot Squad should have gotten the win for that one, just for credibility. And that's going to be kind of a common theme you're going to hear tonight, is credibility. I feel like it's their time. They probably were the most complete team in that. And for them to lose didn't really make sense to me. So then the next match, if you like technical wrestling, you love this match. And that was Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. It was very fast-paced. Both wrestlers are absolute experts at their craft. Kind of a fun side note, Cesaro swung Rollins 23 times. So if you don't know what the Cesaro swing is, Google it. It is entertaining. It's incredible. Did it 23 times to a grown man. That's impressive. He ended up hitting the neutralizer to get the pin and the win. My only real note on this match is hopefully the WWE continues to ride Cesaro's momentum and push him. Once he is really, in my opinion, one of the most underutilized wrestlers on the roster. The dude can do just about everything. His promo works a little off, but if you could put him with the right manager, sky's the limit for Cesaro. Next match is the New Day, the Raw Tag Team Champions versus AJ Styles and Amos. So the New Day were very vocal in the match, shouting out tag team strategies, which was kind of cool to hear kind of a strategic side to the wrestling program going in there. And actually, the New Day seemed more like heels in this situation. They cut off Styles from Amos, basically bullied him around the ring. So that was kind of an interesting touch. Once Amos entered the match, he was absolutely dominant. And if you don't know, this dude is 7'3", so he is an absolute colossus of a man. He hit Kofi with a huge slam for the pin of the win to gain the Raw Tag Team titles. And as a side note, AJ Styles is now a Grand Slam champion in the WWE. He's been in the WWE now 4 years. So that's a pretty impressive feat. So congratulations to him. Next match was Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman in a steel cage. The whole match to me is kind of built off McMahon's bullying angle from 2001 Backlash with the Big Show. Kind of, which way did he go? Ho, 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 ho. If you remember it, it'll stick in your head forever. Pretty cool spot though was Shane trying to leave the cage and Strowman literally ripped the side of the cage off and pulled McMahon through it. As expected in any Shane McMahon cage match, he took a huge bump. He was thrown off the top of the cage. And Strowman hit his power slam for the pin and the win. Not really much to say about that. Was not my favorite match in the world. I felt like the build itself kind of sucked. That's that. So then the next match, there's always a kind of a interesting celebrity match at WrestleMania. And this one was it. So it was The Miz and John Morrison against Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. Now, Bad Bunny is, I believe he is Puerto Rican, a rapper that I believe won a couple Grammys this past year. I think he sold over like 3.2 billion albums. I mean, just an insane talent. And he was in a WWE ring competing. And before I really get into it, my complaint, biggest gripe is how far has The Miz fallen? He was the WWE champion a month ago. Now he's in a gimmick match against Bad Bunny. Miz and Morrison's entrance was god awful. They made their own rap video about bunnies and it was horrible. And I don't want to talk about it because it makes my head hurt. But as a side note, you know, Bad Bunny really impressed in the ring. He moved to Florida actually to train daily up for this match. So he put in the work to get here. And it showed. He hit several high profile moves And I mean, it's pretty impressive for somebody who's never been in a wrestling ring before. A lot of people are saying that's the best appearance ever. I still think Pat McAfee against Adam Cole at TakeOver is the best one. Pat McAfee, if you know him, for the brand. But Bad Bunny, man, he proved he could do this. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with future celebrity matches. So now we are going to go to the main event of night one, and that was Sasha Banks, the SmackDown Women's Champion, against Bianca Belair, the Royal Rumble winner. And to begin, the live crowd absolutely enhances match incredibly. It was a huge moment for both women, and you could see it on their faces. Both when they first stepped in the ring, faced off, you could see the emotions starting to overwhelm them. I mean, tearing up, just soaking it in. It's huge for women to main event any pay-per-view, let alone WrestleMania. And then to add to that, it's Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair are two women of color, and that is a huge moment for them, for in a company that really hasn't been that inclusive. So that made it right there. That was incredible. But getting into the match, both women showcased their own set of skills. Bianca is an incredible athlete, and she really showed it. Sasha Banks is an incredible heel, and I really hope that they keep her going that way. Just the tactics she uses, kind of the arrogance, is really good. To close the match, if you watched it, Bianca Belair has a really long ponytail, and she literally whipped Sasha Banks in the stomach with her hair, and it immediately welted up, and it sounded like a gunshot. It was just wham, and I mean, everybody was just freaking out about it. It was crazy. After that move, though, Belair hit the KOD for the pin and the win to close the night. It was an absolute incredible moment for her, and just feels like her career, the sky's the limit for her. Just a great moment all around. Night one was really good. It just highlighted so many different things and allowed for just solid technical wrestling to take place. So then you have the highs, and then come the lows. Night two, it opened up with The Fiend versus Randy Orton, which I am a huge Fiend fan because I loved The Undertaker. I loved Kane. I just love the character, the Firefly Funhouse, it just everything. It's just incredible. The Fiend was put in a Jack in the Box. Alexa Bliss opened the Jack in the Box. He popped out the top. I mean, if you get an opportunity, YouTube The Fiend's entrance, WrestleMania 37. Incredible. And just as a side note, Alexa Bliss is just incredible in this dark figure role that she's taken on. She's fully embraced it, and she really makes that work. Also, kudos to Randy Orton. Randy Orton really kind of showed the fear and the surprise that The Fiend was still there, because there's a long backstory at TLC where Randy Orton, quote unquote, burned him up. It's something. Whenever Randy Orton would get moves in, The Fiend no-sold it to just look unbeatable. It was a quick match, but to close the match out, you had Alexa Bliss sitting on top of the Jack in the Box, basically with a crown, and the crown was like leaking this black ooze. And this black ooze has played a part in the storyline with Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss for months while The Fiend was gone. And The Fiend reaches for her. Basically, Randy Orton turns around, hits an RKO, 1, 2, 3. So The Fiend has no-sell, like everything. Like everything didn't work. One RKO, pin, game over. And then they just stare at each other, Alexa Bliss and The Fiend, and then the lights go out and they're gone. When I watched that, I mean, this was the match for me that I was looking forward to all weekend. Last season at WrestleMania 36, you had The Fiend against John Cena, and it was a Firefly Funhouse match, and it was a complete gimmick, and it was incredible because it just told such a good story. And this match did none of that. To me, the Fiend is in danger of losing all credibility. Between Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon, they don't know what the hell they're doing with him. We kind of got some answers last night on Raw why Alexa Bliss did what she did, basically because she embraced the darkness and the darkness left her, which was kind of dumb. And then Randy Orton actually, to me, did not need the win. The Fiend needed it to run, just needed to completely run over Orton to gain some credibility. Originally, that was what was supposed to happen, but Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard changed it at the 11th hour for Randy Orton to pick up the win clean, which is stupid. Pisses me off. Anyways, so the next match I'm going to recap is the women's tag team title match. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Tamina and Natalya. Overall, it was a really decent match. I mean, I wouldn't say there's anything too memorable about it. Seemed like Tamina would finally get her WrestleMania moment. Tamina Snuka, if you know, has never won a women's singles title in the WWE, so this would be a huge moment. She did look good in the match, but for whatever reason, they had Shayna Baszler choke out Natalya for the win. Next match here was a kind of another one. I was like, why is he included? And that was Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn with Logan Paul, Logan Paul, as his manager. Backstory to Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they have traveled through the industry together. They have at least a 15-year history together. I mean, those two can't put on a bad match, and that's what happened. They put another good one on. Sami is great as the whiny heel. Kevin Owens is great as a face. I ended up closing out Kevin Owens one with a stunner. Logan Paul came in to kind of celebrate with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens stunned Logan Paul, which was perfect because Logan Paul is a D-bag. So that was great there. The next match was the United States Championship match, Matt Riddle against Sheamus. If you like hard hitting and another match where you just got two big dudes beating the living shit out of each other, this is the match for you. It was very hard hitting. Riddle is super entertaining as a bro. Kind of just plays like the really good stoner kind of dude. He had a rolling paper skit with RVD before the match. If you don't know who RVD is, Rob Van Dam. And that was absolutely fantastic. I busted up watching it. But it ended up being Sheamus won with bro kick. And I think that was the right call. Matt Riddle supposedly wasn't even supposed to be the champion going into WrestleMania, but they're trying to get him focused on bigger things. So we'll see where that leads. But Sheamus to me is one of the most underrated workers in the WWE. He always puts on good matches, no matter what he does, and nobody appreciates him for it. But he's getting it here. So it's Wolverine's Beards podcast, Sheamus. You're welcome anytime, brother. So then I've got three matches left. The Intercontinental title match was a Nigerian drum fight between Big E and Apollo Crews. Basically, it was just a no-holds-barred match. They slap names on it, and it's just a hardcore match. So Wale was the singer for Big E's entrance. Sometimes they'll do live music, and that was pretty cool. Just another hard-hitting entertainment match. Both men are super athletic, super strong. And Big E is a star. I hope you'll see him challenging for a WWE title, heavyweight title, sooner rather than later. And then Dabo Kato, which if you recognize from Raw Underground, actually interfered to give Apollo the pin and the win for the Intercontinental title. So there was that. So then the next match was the Raw Women's title, Asuka against Rhea Ripley. And this match was very good, but it's hard to follow a Banks-Bianca Belair match. It's with that much energy on night one, it's hard to live up to it, and it didn't. Not any fault to them. Both are incredible entertainers. It was a good match, but just there wasn't a lot of build to it, and I think that's what really hurt the match. Charlotte Flair was supposed to be it, but she had caught COVID. So long story short, Charlotte was out. Rhea was in, and Rhea got the win with the Riptide. And I think that's the right call because that pushes Raw forward with a new face. So finally, the main event, overall main event of WrestleMania, triple threat universal title match. Edge versus Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. Holy hell, was that match great. Absolutely incredible. The storytelling in it was great. Edge, Daniel Bryan, Reigns all got just their own time to shine, showcase their abilities. Speaking of showcasing abilities, Edge has absolutely not skipped a beat since he retired 10 years ago. It was actually 10 years ago to the day on Sunday that he retired, that he was back at WrestleMania. Just wow. I mean, that guy had, I believe his spine was narrowing or something like that, being forced into retirement, and he worked his way back. And then you had Daniel Bryan, who was forced to retire due to concussions, and he worked his way back. I mean, it was just one hell of a story, one hell of a culmination to see those two in a main event in 2021 when 3 or 4 years ago, I would have told you were insane if that would have happened. Ultimately, Roman Reigns won with a concerto to Edge and Daniel Bryan. He covered them both, which was a sight to see. I think it's the right call. I mean, I hate Roman Reigns as a face. It just doesn't work. They force it down your throat. But as a heel and the head of the table, oh, that dude is on the trajectory to being, and this is a hot take, the best wrestler in the world. In the world. I think Roman Reigns is on that path right now. His partnering him with Paul Heyman, just the arrogance and everything just works so good. It's interesting, side note, if you would have told me that, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I can't remember when it was, you know, maybe it was 7 years ago. Anyways, Daniel Bryan was in the main event of WrestleMania and another triple threat against Batista and Randy Orton. If you would have told me that this match 5 years ago would have happened, if this match would have happened 5 years ago and Roman Reigns would have won, we'd have lost our minds because he is a face. He was horrible as a face. But this year, you hate him and you're okay with it. And that is incredible. Great storytelling. Great way to close out an interesting WrestleMania. Overall, I'd say night one was really good. Between Belair and just all the other matches, Cesaro and Rollins, Lashley and McIntyre, just a really good night for wrestling. Night two was not as good. You didn't get the real feel-good moments in night two. I mean, night one was the high. Night two was the low. Just because the heels really cleaned up. So it's going to be interesting to see the trajectory WWE takes over this next year. It's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do with fans. Hopefully we can get through COVID, because whenever WWE comes around, it's either a house show or it's Raw in Grand Rapids or SmackDown, and I'm usually there. I'm usually one of the first few rows, usually carry a sign. You can ask Jordan about that. I carried a sign that says, "Hi, Jordan," a couple years ago. So Kendra and I, huge WWE fans. Hopefully we can get out of this COVID mess, because I really want to go to a show now. So with that, guys, I am going to take a quick break because I am parched. And then I'm going to close this puppy down and we're going to talk about the next episode I'm going to do. So stay tuned, guys. All right, guys. So you've heard me ramble for almost 40 minutes now. Wow. Thank you guys again for listening to me talk another week. If you have suggestions or something you want to hear, let me know. I am open to it. I am trying to keep this podcast interesting, trying to keep things fluid, and just trying to have fun with it more than anything, guys. If you guys have not yet, follow us on social media, Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards Podcast, or subscribe and rate us on all of your favorite podcasting streaming sites. That only helps my algorithm get out there. And who doesn't want to hear me talk? I mean, maybe if this wrestling thing went well, maybe I'll start talking more wrestling. I don't know. I'm hoping to tap into a new fan base here, guys. I'm broadening the horizon. With that, though, I'm just going to let you guys know in 2 weeks, I am going to have a special guest. And said special guest and I are going to be doing the NFL mock draft special. Last year, Jordan and I did a live one. Or it wasn't a live one. We did a recorded one. and it went pretty well. I'm excited for this year. It's going to be one round. We're going to break everything down. We're going to have trades done before we get on, and we're both going to discuss the Lions, and then we're going to make the pick, and we're going to see where it goes. So I'm excited for that. Weather's turning pretty good. I mean, we've had 70s and 80s, but now it's in the 50s, 60s, about where it should be. But I hope you guys are all doing well. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're doing what's best for you and your families. And with that, guys, I will talk to you soon. Stay well, stay safe. Go Green. Mm-hmm.